Look, up in the sky. It's a bird. It's a plane. No, it's the worst Superman movie in the entire franchise, because today we're covering Superman 4, The Quest for Shit.
Welcome to Popcorn Talk, featuring movie discussion, news, and interviews. Popcorn Talk, we talk movies. And now, here's Popcorn Talk's Guilty Movie Pleasure.
Ready? Superman's gonna fly again. We reuse the same effect over and over again. Oh, man. I know. Okay, just to clear up real quick, the movie is called Superman 4, The Quest for Peace.
Shit. Oh, for peace?
Quest for peace, but this movie is a quest for shit.
They found it.
Oh, my goodness. Success. We are covering Superman 4, The Quest for Peace here on Guilty Movie Pleasures in honor, or I guess not in honor.
No, we are honoring.
Of Justice League coming out, which I'm seeing tomorrow night, and I'm very hopeful. I'm very cautiously optimistic that it'll at least be a fun ride. I really want it to be good. Hey, I'm your host, Ben Begley, and over here, as always, with me is...
Hi, I'm Jesse McIntosh.
Look at that. Where can they find you, Jesse?
You can find me on Twitter and Instagram at Too Much Jesse.
Yeah, you can find me at The Ben Begley, and you can find us at Guilty Movie Guys, where we talk all things guilty movie pleasures, sometimes not so guilty. Like, arguably, Thor the Dark World was not that guilty. It was a little.
Yeah.
This one is, let's just come out right from the gates. I don't even know if it's a pleasure, but it's a guilty movie for sure.
Yeah. So what?
It was hilariously bad.
It was
bad.
Fascinating. It was a fascinating case study in filmmaking.
Yeah.
So we're going to talk about this movie for about 45 minutes,
yep.
Right? Which I think might be more than the people who made Superman 4 ever talked about it prior to making it.
Yeah.
I think they just like did it.
Had you seen it before?
No.
Okay, because I remember seeing this as a child. I don't really remember. I remember Superman 1 I thought was cool but boring because I didn't understand. I didn't like the farm stuff. But seeing Superman 1 as an adult, obviously, it's really, really good.
It's an interesting...
It's a really, really good movie. The first Superman. It's one of the best superhero movies out there.
But yeah. So you're pro-Superman, but you're against farms.
Apparently, as a child, I was really bored with growing up in Smallville.
Yeah.
Superman 2, I sort of remembered as a kid and really love it now as an adult. 3, I haven't watched since I was a kid. But I remember specifically the woman who got like attacked by... metal or something, and it freaked me out, and I never watched it again.
Okay.
But this one was the most kid-friendly, and I remember loving this, and I even got, like, they still do this now, where they made, like, a storybook based on the movie, where it's just basically a paragraph and stills from the movie, and I thought Nuclear Man was so badass. I thought the fight scenes were incredible, and I watch it now, and I'm like, oh my god!
Yeah.
My poor five-year-old... I mean, I was 5 when it came out, so of course I thought it was cool.
I mean, not of course. Like, I think we're all judging five-year-old you right now, that you were attracted to this trash.
Yeah. I will say that I laughed harder at this movie than I have at some comedies this year, because I was just like, what is happening?
Right.
What is going on?
Sure, but unfortunately, I don't think you laughed in moments where they were trying to be funny.
Absolutely
I think
not.
They were.
In fact, anytime they were trying to be funny, I wanted to
fell flat a little bit.
Nuts.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Anything with John Cryer made me want to just, whoa, hey, Uncle Luther, we're going to bring in this guy who talks like this.
Do you think...
Oh, no.
Do you think that this was... a prequel to 2.5 Men?
Maybe this was his character from 2.5 Men when he used to be a partying roustabout back in the day.
And he like straightened up a little bit, but he
a
held
lot.
On. Yeah.
He became real straight edge.
Yeah.
And then he looks and he sees Charlie Sheen and he remembers a lot of himself.
That's
he
what sees a lot bonds of, them. Mm-hmm. Not they were family, right?
I've seen maybe 2 episodes of my life.
Here's what I know about it. There are 2.5 Men.
I think the half man is John Cryer's son.
Okay.
And then Charlie Sheen got killed off and Ashton Kutcher took over. And I think it's still on.
And the kid grew up and so now it's 3 men?
I think it's still 2.5 men. Because
that's super insulting
to
that kid.
They'll never accept him as a whole man.
They should keep going. They should be like 3.5 men.
There you
like
go.
The kid got super big. Now he's 1.5 men.
That's a lot of pressure on the actor to gain a whole bunch of weight.
Well, you know what? He signed a contract.
Oh, jeez, so. Louise. Let's just... So what'd you think of the movie? Because I was just blown away by... I didn't even have the... I have the DVD box set of the entire Superman saga, but it was this giant metal thing, and I just... Fuck it. This movie didn't deserve me bringing it.
Same. I have it also.
I was blown away by how many times I saw wires, how little Superman does, how the first hour almost nothing happens, and then finally they start fighting, and then they just kind of don't stop fighting for the last half hour. There's so many plot holes you could drive a truck through that I don't... The entire way that Nuclear Man is created...
Okay, so, well, first of all, that is absurd. Like, and not just, like, superhero absurd. Like, there are times in superhero movies where they're, like, a little bit of the green juice and a little bit of the blue juice
and mix it all up. And the ether is blah, blah, blah. Okay. It'll consume the world in darkness.
Sure. Okay. Whatever. Yeah. Okay. Do your thing. Yeah. You know what I mean? But this was just, like, it was literally, like... I am taking his hair and I'm attaching it to this rocket, and the rocket will go into the sun and...
I'm sorry. You're missing a crucial step there. He took his hair that was in a museum that could hold up 1,000-pound weight, and we know this because it says 1,000 pounds written on the
That's how you know.
But Luther is able to cut the hair with just garden variety wire cutters or whatever. And two things happen in that scene. This indestructible hair is cut very easily.
Sure.
And the 1,000-pound weight barely makes a sound when it crashes down. Yep. It doesn't break the entire stand it's on. So apparently it's a 2,000-pound stand that's holding this up.
Well, it's very reinforced.
Very.
Yeah.
So then he takes his hair and makes protoplasm out of it, whatever that means. And it just looks like a glob of, bacon fat.
Yep.
And he puts that in this lunch pail. It looks like a metal lunch pail. Scrapes, I guess... Krypton on it or moon dust or something.
Don't know.
And then closes it. And when.
And also cuts cloth. He cuts the guy is born with clothes on.
He cuts this much cloth and he's like, well, the chemical reaction will make him have just enough clothing.
Trust
me.
What?
What? What? And so.
Chemistry.
Then there's this big plot. The whole plot is that Superman is going to rid the world of nuclear weapons. And the entire summit agrees with him. They're like, yes, no more nukes, which we know in real life. Most countries would be like, fuck you, I need my nukes.
Yeah,
because everybody needs their nukes.
They were literally just waiting for someone to suggest, how about no nukes?
Yeah, yeah.
And they're like, you know what?
You know what?
That sounds like a great plan. None of us had brainstormed that.
I know we're jumping around. We'll get to the plot in a few minutes. But it's such a silly scene where the answer then is all the countries fire their nukes into the air. Superman catches them, throws them into a giant net in space.
Okay, hold on. Because they did not fire them into the air. They fired them into space. They were all in space already. So, they're not going to re-enter the atmosphere, right? They're already in outer space.
Yeah, why didn't they just detonate them in space?
Why didn't he just let them go at that point? We never see him take them and throw them into space. Everyone's just voluntarily launching them into space.
We see him take the last few, and then there's the reveal that he's been gathering them all in this giant net.
Right.
And he locks it and spins it around and flings it into the sun. He flings 300 nuclear bombs into the sun, which, by the way, would probably destroy the sun.
It would destroy the world.
The sun would be destroyed. We would go into a second ice age, and everybody would be like, thanks a lot, Superman. We'd rather have our fucking nukes than you.
And you know what? just throw them anywhere else. Do you know what I mean? Space... is,
you know what, though?
Infinite.
I agree with that, but I wrote that down, and I was like, before I realized he was swinging it into the sun, I was like, man, Superman's just going to throw these out into space? That's really irresponsible. What if an alien race gets these and then comes back to it? And I was like, oh, it's the sun. Oh, that makes even less sense.
Right.
That was my roller coaster of emotions.
Maybe the moon. We don't really need the moon, right?
Well, that's another part. Why not talk about that? Later on, he moves the moon to block Nuclear Man's powers, which would totally fuck up the gravitational alignment of our poles and we would have tidal waves and all kinds of stuff, I think. Science.
And
maybe.
Just to take a quick step back from the science problems with this movie, Superman at this point has reconciled the fact that he is a citizen of Earth, right? He is a man of Earth.
Yeah.
That meant to the creators that when he got to the moon, he was obsessed with making sure the American flag was straight and flying.
I don't know if you knew this, but Earth is America.
Other way.
I mean, America.
America is Earth, as we all know.
Right.
Everyone else is second class.
Holy shit, we have so much to talk about. So let's get into the plot in under 3 minutes, because clearly this movie is a train wreck of ridiculousness. Are we ready in the booth? All right, here goes. So there's this amazing sequence in the beginning, like a Russian version of Gravity, where these Russian astronauts are out in space fixing the satellite, and then a stray satellite hits them. Superman comes in and saves the day, and is like, all right, I'm out of here. I'm a good Boy Scout. And he flies off. And There's like, he goes to the farm, and this guy, Mr. Hornsby, wants him to sell the farm because I guess his parents died, or his uncle and aunt died in one of the other movies. I can't remember. And he's like, no, I don't want to sell the farm. And then he goes back to.
Well, and he's got the healing thing. He's got the healing thing from Krypton, yeah, right?
What that never is really fully explained. Right. So it looks like Kryptonite that heals him apparently later.
Sure. Anyways, opposite of Kryptonite.
He goes to Metropolis. He's there at the newspaper, and.
The newspaper is being taken over by this guy who just wants headlines. He just wants to sell newspapers. He doesn't care about the news.
A decent commentary on, you know, yeah, modern news.
Still,
sure.
Still fits.
Sure. With the woman with the world's largest glasses.
Yeah.
Oh, the president at the summit, and then Superman shows up, and that's where he says, hey, I'm going to get rid of all your nukes, and the entire, every nation stands up and applauds, even warlords.
And,
they don't
and
care.
And so before that, Lex Luthor escapes prison by having his cousin show up with the car, and the policeman get in the car, and it's remote control, and he sends him off a cliff.
And they're unscathed, just like cartoonishly Looney Tunes.
Yeah, and they just like climb back up the mountain. But so he escapes and he goes to these arms dealers and he's like, I can make you a deal. I want to kill Superman. But to kill Superman, here's what we have to do.
And then they build, they hijack a rocket and they put the lunch pail with the protoplasm on it. Superman throws it up and then a fetus comes out, like 2001 A Space Odyssey, but shitty.
Yep.
And it becomes Nuclear Man, fully clothed, looking like Ivan Drago meets Superman. And then he comes down to Earth, he meets Luthor, he has Luthor's voice for some reason.
Don't know.
He's like, I will destroy Superman. And then there's a lot of other kind of meandering stuff where Clark does this like, he's Superman for Lois, and then he's Clark for the other girl, for Lacey, and he keeps like doing like the Mrs. Doubtfire thing. And then Nuclear Man starts attacking.
Right, and so then they fight all over the place,
everywhere.
Nuclear Man is like, I will destroy the people unless you show me where the girl is. And for some reason, he wants the girl.
Yeah, he picks up the Statue of Liberty and is going to throw it.
Yeah, and then he scratches Superman, and then Superman is getting sick because
he
can't deal
old.
With it. Yeah, he gets real old and sick, and then he uses the healing power.
So we guess. They don't ever show it.
We assume, but this is the only time he can use it, and now his planet's gone forever. Then they're fighting for real. There's a little bit of tension because he might scratch him again, but then he doesn't. And he moves the moon, and so he has no. But he's flying in space at this point with the woman, and he lets go of the woman, and then he saves the woman, and then Superman throws him into a nuclear power plant, and I guess that's okay. And then the old owner of the newspaper buys up all the other shares, so he kicks the new guy out, and all is right with the world.
That's it. And then Superman gives a big long speech and says, "We are. I wish you could see the planet as I see it."
Yeah.
That's it. Okay, here goes.
Well,
let's buckle up. We're gonna get into this. Okay, so man, the first sequence is decent with the Russians and the saving them in space and that. It's okay.
Sure.
But the effects look worse than the first movie, and this movie came out like 7 or 8 years later. It doesn't make any sense.
It was really, really funny to have the one astronaut working out in space and have the whatever it was, like a satellite come by and just clip the person. Like such perfect trajectory. It just clipped the person.
Yeah.
And then
Superman, why wouldn't that person be killed by getting clipped by a satellite in space?
And then Superman lets him, when Superman saves the person, he lets him back in by opening the door and like, I don't really know about space, but like everyone is pretty cool just like with the door open in space
and
no one seems affected
at
all.
Point, do they?
I think they might.
Either way, there's usually an airlock of some sort.
Right.
Because you get sucked out. Everything I know from alien movies is if there's a breach in the hull, you get sucked out into space.
Correct.
So, yeah, they play real fast and loose with the laws of physics.
They didn't investigate space physics for this movie.
They didn't investigate
at all.
Anything.
Nope.
So then we go to Smallville, and the thing is, the one really still decent thing is that Christopher Reeves is still really good as Superman, even though he's in a shitty movie. Like, he embodies this goodness. And even when he's Clark Kent, in all those movies, what I really noticed that I don't think Henry Cavill has hit yet is the awkwardness of Clark Kent. Like, even though it's some of the shit they do in this is really stupid, like the Jazzercise class where Clark Kent is like, oh, I don't know how to work out. Oh, he still had the physicality's different. So, because it's always, it's always such a suspension of disbelief to be like, oh, Superman puts on glasses and suddenly you don't, everybody who's super close to him and who've been face to face with Superman don't get it.
Yes.
But when the way Christopher Reeves plays it is, it's believable because he's so dopey and nobody would assume he, that'd be like if I was Superman, you'd be like, Yeah, right, vaguely.
Yeah, yeah. Maybe. But I've also, like, if I saw if you knew Superman me for 8 years, and I knew you, yeah. and I'd be like, oh, that's Begley with glasses on.
What I'm saying is it's still a leap in logic, but it's the best right. screen. That's why I like that the new one in Man of Steel, they just come out right away and Lois finds out the first movie. Because that's so much better than having Lois be completely blind like she is in this movie still.
Yeah.
I guess. I couldn't tell, though. Maybe I'm forgetting something from Superman 3 where, like, she...
So what it seemed like, because they do have like that moment. They something. Have that moment where he, like, is connecting with her and, like, unloading his problems as Superman onto her when they're, like, flying together.
Yeah.
And then as soon as they land and they kiss, it seems like her memory go... Like, he does yeah. something to erase her, that little bit of her memory.
I'm sure there's something in one of the other... Actually, I'm hoping there isn't. I'm hoping that's just something that makes something. No sense.
Yeah.
And Lois seems drunk in some of the scenes, I feel like.
She was a tough watch.
She may have had to, because she's great in the original. Yeah. Just, everybody.
She was a real tough
you
watch.
You can tell everybody was just like, oof. So then they go to, so there's this farm exposition that you got, clip number one, where he uncovers this, the last of his ship, and just conveniently... as if it's the first time his mother's voice comes on telling him everything.
Well, yeah, exactly. And also, like, was there a point in any of the three previous Superman movies where we had investigated this little cove in his shed?
It's been so long, I don't remember. But maybe, or maybe it's just... Is this like a music box where every time he opens it, it's like, Clark, this is the exposition in case you forgot it from last time.
Yeah, this is like an alien answering machine. You know how he uses to, like, save messages?
Let's play clip number right. one.
I pray you have made a safe journey. The yellow sun of your new home will give you great physical powers.
He already knows this from three movies.
It cannot consume right. your spirit. Placed aboard this vessel is an energy module. All that remains of a once powerful civilization.
It's fucking green. It looks like kryptonite.
Your mother planet.
Yes.
It is my last gift to you.
No explanation.
Once removed, the ship will grow cold and silent, and you will be finally alone.
And instead
the
of
power in the module,
I thought it was done.
But once.
Okay. So the power in the module. Jesus Christ! It's so shut up. So it's so she says the power in the module can be used at once. Uh-huh. And once you take this out, the ship will grow cold and you'll be alone. And there's no even hesitation. It's like, well.
He just grabs it and puts it in the pocket that's hanging.
But then he doesn't use it at once.
He doesn't use it.
And everything I know about Superman, from everything I've ever read in the comics and everything I've ever been told in the movies, is kryptonite comes from Krypton and it affects him differently on Earth, I think, where it kills him. Kryptonite kills him.
Right. So I don't know what this is. This seems to just be some energy source that
that's
isn't kryptonite.
The exact same color as kryptonite, yeah. which is mm-hmm. super fucking
it's the
confusing.
Only color that exists on Krypton.
But it's like when you're going camping and you're getting the good berries or the bad yeah, berries. Yeah. You know, the red berries, there's good red berries, but there's bad red berries too. Yeah. This is the good green and bad green of Krypton. I don't fucking know.
That's exactly what it is.
So then there's the dude that wants the farm and that never pays off. Like, he's just like, you gotta sell the farm, and then they never go back to that storyline, so there's no need for it.
Never even go back to the farm.
Can we play clip number two?
Today, nobody wants a farm. Now you blink your eye and they'll all be gone. That's progress.
How is that progress?
I have no idea.
How is it progress to have no more crops? Nobody wants a farm. They want grocery stores and shopping centers. How do we get food for those grocery stores? And
That's not for you to worry about.
Nope. Today, Junior, is what yeah. it sounds like in the beginning. I don't... That's just another logic gap thing right there.
Yeah.
Just,
nobody wants farms.
Nobody.
It's progress.
I may not want to live on a farm, but I want them to exist.
I would like for farms to happen.
Yeah. I'm all for... I am pro-farm, guys.
Boy, is that a departure from where you were as a child.
You know, as a child, I was anti-farm.
Yeah.
And I've grown to understand farms more.
This is human evolution, folks.
Yep. For those of you on Twitter who have been attacking me saying I'm anti-farm still, I've changed. I'm pro-farm. I just don't want to live on one.
Talking to you, Corey.
Yeah, Corey. You were on here on the show, and you thought I was anti-farm still.
Jesus Christ.
Jesus. So we go, God bless America. Lex Luthor is now basically just a bumbling... He goes from being this really cool villain in the first movie to just being like... A bad Rocky and Bullwinkle villain is what him and John Cryer feel like in this. I think it's his nephew Lenny or some shit. But then let's play clip number B1. This is when he escapes. He escapes from a chain gang by his nephew showing up in a car, and the cops going, "Well, that's a cool car. Can we get in?" Surrounded by hardened criminals. And he goes, "Sure, guys." And then he rolls up the windows, traps him in it, rolls him off a cliff, and it blows up. And you think, oh, shit, he just killed two cops. No, they crawl out, and they're just covered in smoke.
Yeah.
Like Looney Tunes again.
I mean, obviously, the car blew up.
Yeah.
But this was like, which one was it where they were in the ice cream?
Oh, Killer Clowns from Outer
Space.
Yeah,
Killer Clowns from Outer Space.
Killer Clowns from Outer Space has better physics than this movie. All right, let's play clip number B1.
Lenny, you pathetic product of the public school system. Your Uncle Lex has had nothing on his awesome mind since he's been incarcerated except one thing.
Destroy Superman!
Raw! Raw! He always has some awful thing. Destroy Superman! Raw!
So here's the problem. We've already discussed the many number of problems with this particular scene.
Mm-hmm.
Additionally, Lex Luthor is a known criminal. He's been in jail for a little bit, but
he's a criminal mastermind.
His sentence will last many years to come. He escaped in a very, we'll call it violent for this movie, a very violent way.
Sure.
There is no pursuit.
None.
Not a single policeman.
And
not a single wanted poster. Nothing. They're just like, well,
hanging out in a high rise. He looks
like
in
an apartment.
Old lair.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
And Superman even shows up and is like, Lex Luthor, you're back again, and just talks to him.
Right.
And you're like, what? No. Why is this
happening? Call the police.
I know what this movie feels like, a shitty version of the 1960s Batman movie. Because like the 1960s Batman movie has like the camp and fun and ridiculous, and the whole 60s Batman series is fun. You go in there knowing it's going to be ridiculous. This feels like they were trying to maybe recapture that and failed miserably at it.
Sure. Sure.
And I'm sorry if there are diehard Superman 4 fans out there. Don't get me wrong.
Listen, you don't have to apologize if there are diehard Superman 4 fans out there. You should apologize, but not for the fact that they're offended by what you're about to say.
Okay, good point. Good point. Well, anyways, I laughed hysterically at this movie, but that wasn't the point of it.
Right.
So then there's Clark. He saves the subway train, not really sure how. As Superman, when Lois gets on it, he steps on the tracks and it electrocutes it and the train stops. They're too lazy to have him stop the train.
I almost was like, they didn't have the technology budget to be like, we can't have him in contact with this train.
Yeah.
We have to have him stop it in a different way.
I guess. I'm sure he stopped trains in other movies and they were just like, we're going to do something different with this one.
But
something different.
I had totally forgotten about the scene, but my favorite part of this scene was when Lois gets on the train and it starts to, like, I don't know, go faster.
Because
the
driver immediately has a heart attack.
The train starts to go fast.
She's the worst luck.
And she, like, first of all, like, you can't tell if you're underground on a subway train if you're going faster than normal. There's no way for you to be able to tell that. I don't think so. I've been on underground trains and you can't really...
Really?
I mean, maybe if it's Ricky.
I don't, okay.
But, so she starts yelling out, "Help."
She knows Superman will hear her.
Yeah.
That's what she knows.
Okay.
She knows Superman will drop everything and help her.
She's like,
Superman could be saving
around
a whole family from a burning building. Here, Lois be like, sorry, fucking deal with it.
She's looking around on the trains, all these other, like, frightened people, and she's like, help. And they're like,
I think she's calling for Superman, but she should have made it clear.
She should have addressed Superman.
Help, Superman, instead of help.
And then
generic extras.
And then Superman goes onto the train, and he looks at the conductor, and he's like, he's going to be fine.
Doesn't make any sense. And then he says something to the effect of like, I want everybody to know that the subways are still the safest way to travel, even though this terrible event just happened.
Yep.
And you're like, thank you for reassuring us. See, that's the Superman. That's the Boy Scout.
That was a big fuck you to taxis.
It's
by
definitely
the way.
A fuck you to taxis.
Yeah.
Don't ride taxis. Those are death
There's
traps.
Only two ways to get around a city, and it's
so we already,
trains and cars.
I feel like we went in detail already with the nuclear arms race and how he ends it by just going and saying, I'm gonna take them all!
Right.
Which, by the way, the Earth would never... Which this is something that I think the new movies, for better or worse, I think they've done a really good job of showing how... And I know the Batman vs. Superman and Man of Steel are polarizing, but I actually enjoy a lot about them. And I think that they handle really well is Superman and how the world would react to an alien with that much power, mm-hmm. and how some people would react to him as a god, and other people would be like, you are too dangerous, dude. We do not want you here. And I think they've done that well. The thing I think that I'm hoping they capture in Justice League that they haven't fully got yet is the hope of Superman, is the brightness, because he's supposed to be what we all aspire to be. He's not supposed to be morose and feeling burdened by being a hero, which right. I feel like they focus too much on the burden, which is why so many people have so many issues with it. Don't get me wrong. I actually am not a hater of those movies. I think they're messy, but I enjoy them. But anyways, that was my little tangent on the new movies. So we went over the nuclear arms race, Lex in the museum cutting the hair, we already went over ad nauseum. What else? Oh god, so he goes to the Fortress of Solitude, talks to two elders that I guess are still alive from the planet somewhere, just waiting for his call.
Guess it's, you know what they should have done? The elders should have recorded a message and left it in a shed bunker
that just disappears.
That he could have, yeah, that he could have just opened up. It would have been more convenient for him.
I did skip two sound clips. Can we play, this is the new dickhead boss at the Daily Planet. Can we play clip number 3?
Don't tell me you only read the pictures.
Oh no, that's the old, that's boss, the old boss getting mad at the new boss. Mm-hmm. Yes, yes. And little known fact, when I first started reading comics, reading them as a child, my parents bought them for me to get me to read at a very young age, and I literally would just look at the pictures. So since I've gone back in my adult life and read stuff, I'm like, holy shit, I didn't know this happened. And my dad looked at me and just said,
don't tell me you only read the pictures.
I thought I got everything out of the pictures.
When I was a teenager, I had a subscription to Playboy.
Really?
And
how'd you sneak that?
Well, I, you know those like,
you have magazine, a PO box?
Yeah, exactly. Yep. Mm-hmm. I picked it up at the post office every day. It's a daily subscription, by the way.
You paid a lot.
I don't know if you know this about Playboy in the 90s. my entire allowance. I would invent chores so that I could get this. And I insisted to my dad. I was like, I swear to God, it's great writing. I only read Playboy for the articles.
Yeah.
And my dad looked at me, shook his head, and he was like,
don't tell me you only read the pictures.
No, Dad, the articles.
You know, full disclosure, I may have never read a Playboy article in a Playboy magazine. I may have read one online that was like, oh, it's an article and it happened to be from Playboy, but my really only experience with Playboys was in my teens, and I definitely didn't care about the articles.
That was before you could read?
That was... Well, see, so ironically, I read the pictures of both Playboy and comic books.
Gotcha.
We also forgot to mention the world's worst acting in the classroom that spawns Superman to go to the summit, because this kid named Jeremy, who talks like this, he's like an 11-year-old boy, and he talks like he was voiced over by a 30-year-old.
It was very surprising.
And can we play clip number 4?
Now, is there anything we can do? Doesn't anyone have a suggestion?
This is in a classroom, by the way.
All right. I'll make a suggestion. Why don't we write to our congressman?
That'll do a lot of good.
Somebody has to be an optimist.
That was the kid.
That'll do a lot of good.
Somebody has to be an optimist.
Mm-hmm.
I feel that way kind of nowadays, where it's like when people are like, write to your congressman. It's like, yeah. I'm going to write to my congressman in California where they already agree with me.
Yeah.
And they're already getting everybody saying, yeah, we agree with you. I need to move to a state that I disagree with my congressman.
I don't want to.
But I don't think it'll...
Yeah.
But then anytime they've said, like, call Paul Ryan about something, it's always a voicemail. It's like, Paul Ryan's voicemail is full right now.
Do you know
it's
why?
Like, what the fuck? This doesn't make...
Do you know
somebody's got to be optimistic.
No, it's because I call Paul Ryan and every leave day. 5-minute messages about... Just about life. I just want to chat his ear off about sports and
every
fashion.
Every time you do that, I say, that'll do a lot of good. It's weird. I just become this child every time.
It's very strange.
Oh, my God. So then there's that weird... I don't know what too much thinking was. What's that? Well, let's just play it. Clip
let's
number
hear
5.
It.
Good. Too much thinking wears down your batteries.
That was Lois, but I don't remember.
You know what? I said I wouldn't do a political joke unless it was perfect. And I feel like this actually ties in because Trump actually said, this isn't even making fun of him. This is a direct quote from him. He said that he stopped working out at a certain age when he became an adult because he believes that your body only has so much energy per day. And he wants to use that all for business and deal making.
Yep.
And so, you know, his whole theory is just this.
Good. Too much thinking wears down your batteries.
Well, that's why he doesn't think too much either. He just wants to save his batteries for that fight or flight emergency moment.
Listen, his number one priority are batteries.
Batteries. That's
he is focused on, and anything that detracts from that is a waste of fucking time.
Just batteries.
Batteries.
So I gotta sustain. If I do as little as possible up here and here, I will live longer, okay?
Yep.
Because I have it's like I have an energy bar, like Mortal, not like a protein bar, but like Mortal Kombat, and it's going down every day of my life, but if I don't use it that day.
Don't use it. You don't use it.
You don't use it.
Hear me out. If you don't use it, you don't use it. Okay?
Okay?
Those are facts.
So there's this weird sequence where Lois is, I don't know, brainwashed by him. I'm sure it makes sense from another movie. I don't give a shit. They fly everywhere. It looks horrible. It looks like they're flying in front of... it looks like they hung them by strings and just played a movie behind them.
Yes.
And it's probably what they did.
Yeah.
Then the whole nuclear summit happens. Nuclear Man, we already described how he's born, which is just batshit. He comes down to Earth. This movie is like the Rocky IV of the Superman movies, only Rocky IV is awesome. Like, Ivan Drago and Rocky, as silly as it is and how they solve communism by a boxing match, there's still that amazing training montage where Rocky's in the Russian, like, frozen tundra pulling the chains and the tire, and then there's Ivan Drago getting juiced up, and if he dies, he dies. It's still incredible. And now, granted, it's the silliest and then Rocky V, go for it, it's even sillier, but it's weird to go from a best picture like Rocky to Rocky IV.
Sure.
Just like it's weird to go from one of the best superhero movies until, like, recently to Superman 4. It's such a huge... I know Richard Pryor's in the third one, and it's more, like, focused on him because he was hot at that time, but, like, this movie is...
Hot like sexy?
Yeah, buddy. Yeah. You know it. Mm-hmm. I don't know what Gonna Be Parents is. Do you remember this
Yeah, one? This is actually talking about Nuclear Man, and they're in the middle of making him, and the nephew says to Lex Luthor...
You know what this means, Uncle Lex?
What?
We're gonna be parents.
I like that. It's almost like the movie, like, shit on that joke too with that music cue.
Yeah.
So then Nuclear Man comes down. He has Lex's voice, but he sounds weird. Can we play clip number B2? This is when John Cryer's character kind of makes fun of Nuclear Man a little bit.
Yeah, you're just an experiment, freako.
And he starts lifting him up in the air.
Oh, no.
I'm an experiment.
Oh, no.
Oh, no. The best is... Wait, listen to the end again. Can we play that one more time?
Yeah, you're just an experiment, freako.
What's that?
Oh, no.
I'm an experiment.
You can't really hear it, but he's saying, I am an experiment. I am freako. And it's just so weird. It just doesn't make... Oh, God. It doesn't make any sense why he has Lex Luthor's voice.
Does it make any sense, any more or less sense, that he knows English?
No.
He probably shouldn't know language, right?
From being made from bacon fat and Superman hair and
like
Krypton dust.
Conceding the fact that we made a fully formed human with superpowers by putting a piece of hair and bacon grease and a swab of clothing on a nuclear rocket that goes into the sun.
Yep.
Conceding that.
You know, in hindsight.
Yeah.
How Doomsday was created. You haven't seen Batman v Superman.
No.
But how Doomsday is created in that. Still seen it 19 years. How Doomsday is created in that makes a lot more sense than this. And if I remember right, it's like Lex Luthor cuts his hands and puts blood in this, like, genetic pool and makes an abomination between human and Krypton DNA, which I don't understand how that would be stronger than Superman. But it doesn't really matter. Nope. It still makes light years more sense than this.
Yes.
Like, so we've... Hey... Whoever wants to be a DC hater out there, it could always be Superman 4.
Sure.
I'm hopeful. I'm hopeful for the DC universe. I think Wonder Woman was great, and I think Justice League is going to be a bundle of fun with maybe a thin storyline, is what I've read. Everyone is saying that. Let's see what else we got.
That was a war movie, the thin storyline.
The thin storyline, yeah.
The thin red line.
There's the whole thing where Clark... cooks Lois's duck to perfection and does the whole, like, that sounds sexual, but what he's doing is Clark has this moment where he's basically has a date with Lois and Lacey. Lacey's the new dickhead boss's daughter. Mm-hmm. And they're in the same room, so he has to keep figuring out ways to disappear as Clark and reappear as Superman. And it's, I assume it would be comedic in 1987, but it's really just like, oh my God.
This is like
it goes on forever.
Classic sitcom hijinks.
Yep.
Nothing makes me more stressful than someone committing to be in two places at once.
Very stressful.
And so like this particular
this is the most tense scene in the whole movie for you.
I couldn't and obviously it's gonna work out because Superman can change like that. But yeah. Like in any sitcom or any like comedy when someone has to run back and forth between places, and like the Mrs. Doubtfire one where he like doesn't he like leave something on? He like leaves his earrings on or something. I don't remember what it was.
It was so good though. Mrs. Doubtfire is the one that really nails it. That was so funny.
That always stresses me out so much.
It is stressful.
Yeah.
Have you done that a lot in your life in your old days?
No, I don't think I'd be able to handle it.
I can barely handle when I'm talking to somebody on the phone and somebody else is calling in and I can't.
Right.
How do I get it to stop beeping? Because they know someone else is calling in
and
I should pick this up. It stresses me out, but I'm a neurotic human being.
And the person calling in can tell that you're on the other line.
Yeah. Yeah.
There's a lot of dynamics going on.
You know what? Cell phones have made us way too connected. Whatever. That's my story. And
people don't farm anymore. Do you know what I mean?
You know what? If it was just people were more pro-farm.
Yeah.
Pro-farm.
They thought back in the 80s that it was progress, but it's not. It's regress.
It's regress.
Yeah.
So Superman shows up. Lex Luthor's there. They have this... Lex Luthor tells him his entire plan, which basically is to then rearm the world and then make millions off of... He's like, thank you for disarming all the nuclear weapons. Now I'm going to rearm everybody and make millions, and Nuclear Man's going to destroy you. And then they have the world's worst... One of several world's worst fights, where they start punching each other as they fall off a building. Oh my God, hold on. They fly away. He gets electrocuted. Nuclear Man blows... Oh, he goes to the Great Wall of China and blows it all up, and only one person out of the thousands of tourists falls off, and Superman saves her. And then, little known fact, Superman can apparently fix buildings with his eyeballs.
Yep.
He just goes, meer, and it all goes back, which I read online is because they didn't have enough budget to make him build it fast again, so they just made that up instead.
So this was in the same chunk as Stop the Train?
Yeah.
They could have just left the wall unbuilt, I guess.
Yeah. I mean, but hey, they wanted to just make sure we know that he is conscientious about rebuilding.
Or they
things.
could have had him like so shoot out of frame and then shoot back into frame and then reshow the wall and
there
have it been built.
Yeah.
I'm solutions oriented.
They fly up into space. Superman gets frozen for a really long time, and then Nuclear Man flies into a volcano, and lava's flying everywhere. And Superman finally shatters the ice.
Putting a top on an active volcano is not. There's a reason we don't cover.
Yeah, he cuts
volcanoes.
He like takes like another piece of a mountain and
he
like
ruins other Earth.
Yeah,
not other Earth.
And puts like a cork in the in the active volcano.
Yeah, he pressurizes an active volcano. Yeah,
pretty sure. And then he comes and freeze breaths the rest of it away.
And everyone's like, "Oh, thank you." And it's like, okay, but there's still a lava issue.
What do we do with this newly frozen magma?
Right.
Isn't that what it's called?
Yep.
Not MAGA. anyways.
It's totally different.
Totally different.
One is better than the other.
you decide.
Yep.
Nuclear Man's, when they go up in space and his nails grow really long, he's like, wow! I just expected some kind of like Kiss song to come. He looks so much like a 80s rock star with like witch fingers.
That would have made it so much better if he like showed up to Earth with a guitar and he just like took the guitar
off. Like the
guitar
player from Mad Max.
Yeah. And the first thing he did was take the guitar off, and then we never talked about it ever again.
Why not? They never talk about a whole other.
That's what I'm saying.
Shit. There's so many random things to remember. That's why I keep checking my notes, because this movie's so fucking non sequitur. So then he brings his nails out. They have this amazing fight where basically Superman just going, huh! Superman in this sequence, which I think I tweeted out a GIF of it. If not, I'll retweet it. In this sequence, he's fighting like how I would fight if somebody started punching me. He's like, huh! Oh shit! No! And it's the worst. Like, let's not choreograph anything. Just like try and block the nails as they come at you,
right?
While you're hanging on wires in front of a starry background.
Sure,
it's so bad. Then he picks up the Statue of Liberty and is going to drop it on, I think, the Daily Planet or somewhere in New York or Metropolis.
Metropolis,
basically New York, and. Yeah, it would have to be, because it's the Statue of Liberty. Anyways, he picks it up. He's about to throw it. Superman finds him, gets it back, gets scratched and is like, ah! But he has enough energy to, again, plop it right back down.
Exactly where it was.
Did you know that all you have to do is set a large statue back down and it'll just stay in place? It doesn't need to be resealed or anything.
Little known fact about the statue, the base of the Statue of Liberty, made with the same material that they would put under a 1,000-pound weight being held up by a single hair.
Yeah, that's why I was able to hold it.
That's why I did that.
Jesus. So Superman now gets really sick, and he's like shivering, and Lois comes over, and he's like, I'm going to be okay. And Nuclear Man starts wreaking havoc, and Superman takes a very long time to decide to use this energy
because it destroyed his planet.
And then he brings it out. They never show how he uses it, what it does.
Nope.
Does he insert it somewhere? Does he eat it? Does he have to crunch it up and like huff it like cocaine?
I like to believe he had to swallow it, and it just took him a bunch of times.
It's a whole lot, an entire glass of milk, like, to
just
swallow.
Yeah, put it in yogurt. And
when you're trying to swallow fish oil pills, you're like, this is fucking huge. Oh my god,
it's not natural for me to swallow.
And then there's Jesus Christ. Oh, God. Okay. How did Superman. And then Jerks? What's Jerks? Let's play clip number 7. Why not?
Jeez, what a jerk. Never realized it before.
Lazy.
I guess a lot of people I know are jerks. Maybe you think the same thing about me. That's why you keep avoiding me.
See, so Lacey, the jerk boss's daughter, has a real character arc in this movie.
She sure does.
She goes from being just all about the tabloids to instantly being changed by Clark's charms and thinking, and Clark gets it all. He gets to kiss Lois and he gets to kiss Lacey. It's like, this guy is two-timing.
And you call it charms, but like, he's actively trying to avoid this interaction.
Yeah.
Like, he does not want any part of this.
But then he kisses her later on, so clearly he's down for both.
I mean,
let's play clip number 8. I don't remember what it is, but we'll find out.
No, Superman makes a different kind of entrance.
Superman makes a different kind of entrance as a really loud doorbell.
Yep.
There we go.
Yep.
He makes a different kind of entrance, and then Clark shows up, and it's like, no one knows that this is... They're the same person! They're the same person!
It's because glasses protect...
How can the same guy keep entering the same room and you not understand in that moment? You not see it. Whatever. Dude of Steel.
Preaching to the choir.
This is another one of the moments where John Cryer has just... It's clear why he's had such a longevity. Can we play clip number 9?
The Dude of Steel. Boy, are you gonna get it?
Boy, are you gonna get it? It's like he's going for half Bill and Ted, half Valley Girl.
That's exactly how I was gonna describe it.
Mm-hmm.
He's like Spicoli mixed with Clueless.
It's something.
Yeah.
It's something. And then we did skip over, because I got so excited about talking about the fight scene, we skipped over the clip number 10, which is Nuclear Man, when he instead of destroying Superman, he's going to do this first. Clip 10.
First, I have fun.
You know, it's weird because I was getting rid of... My wife made me get rid of some of my CD collection.
Mm-hmm.
And I was bummed out because I liked a lot of them. And she's like, you can just transfer to your computer. And I was like, okay, fine. But first, what I'm going to do is I'm going to set them in the microwave. Because, you know, if you put a CD in the microwave for about 10 seconds... it shoots out sparks.
Yeah.
And she was like, what are you doing? I told you to throw away your CDs. And I said, as it's left.
First, I have fun.
And I'm watching it just.
Yeah.
Which,
nothing's
by the way,
more fun than that.
Pretty sure that's poisonous.
100%.
Pretty sure that's poisonous.
100%. It's like poison mixed with
the
poison.
Microphone.
I'm surprised you didn't create a CD human out of that.
I didn't have the protoplasm. I didn't have the right protoplasm.
Just one ingredient. You know what's crazy is back when I had the Daily Playboy subscription.
Yeah.
And
not
my,
the Daily Planet. The
no,
Daily
no, no,
Playboy.
The Daily Playboy subscription. Yeah. And my dad was like, are you just going to read the pictures? And I was like, no, Dad, I'm going to read the articles. And he was like, I don't believe you. Give that magazine to me. And I was like,
fun.
And you were fighting, that sound was you fighting.
Yes.
And the magazine was, because they were really crinkly pages.
They were super crinkly.
Yeah. It was like when they switched the Sun Chips bags to say, hey, these are more earth-friendly because they're crinklier. They were earth-friendly Playboys. They were doing a daily subscription. They had to be.
They had to be earth-friendly. They were.
Otherwise, it's just irresponsible.
They were anti-farm way before it was cool.
You mean pro-farm?
I've lost track. I don't know.
So let's go to Nuclear Man versus Superman Bout 2, where Superman shows up fully healed. We don't know how.
Nope.
But
he swallowed the green thing.
And then he swallowed the green fish oil pill. And then Nuclear Man comes in and just, like you said in the recap, just starts fucking wrecking the equivalent of Metropolis' Times Square, blowing up buses, flipping things, cars, making cops go in reverse. Superman's just standing there.
He doesn't do anything. He's so this just is weird. Standing. This whole exchange was weird because...
And he goes, the people!
Yeah.
Stop it! The people!
Yeah, and yeah, Nuclear Man is like, I want the girl. And it's like, what? First of all, what? And then, like... Okay, and then he's like, yeah, I'm gonna, or I will destroy the people. And then he starts destroying only property.
Yep.
He doesn't go after any of the people. I guess people are in the cars, but like, yeah. He's destroying, like, I forget what he hits, but it's only
stuff.
Why
does Superman let him do that?
And then Superman just stands and goes, there and watches him. Yeah.
Enough, that's enough. I'll take you to the girl. And then he takes him up there. And God, I don't even remember how he, what his,
they go through the elevator.
His plan is that, yeah, he traps him in the elevator and takes him up into space. Where he then loses his power on the moon, and Superman just basically goes, guess that's it, and leaves him.
Well, so he was in the elevator to block the sun, and on Earth it didn't matter. Like, on Earth he wasn't getting any sun, but then when he throws the elevator onto the moon, apparently the sun can reach into the elevator.
I don't know how it happens.
There, and so he, like, regenerates.
He regenerates. They have the world's most hilarious slow motion fight that goes on forever, where it includes this weird growl, B3, please. That is one shot of Nuclear Man just doing a very extended growl after he knocks Superman away.
And little known fact about this movie, they had to redub that. That was not actually Nuclear Man. That was the kid from the elementary classroom. School scene.
Because he was so frustrated. They were like, a lot of good that's going to do. I'm not going to write my senator. They're like, you should. It'll help. And he goes, it's not going to help. Just listen. So, long story short, God, Nuclear Man loses his power again. Superman saves the girl. Oh, Superman pushes the moon in front of the sun, like we said, which would totally fuck up Earth. Then saves the girl who somehow can survive in space. Lacey can survive outside our atmosphere for several minutes.
Because she's rich.
Yeah. And she's learned a lot from Clark.
Yeah.
So then he takes Nuclear Man as he's, because the moon's still blocking it, throws him into a nuclear power plant. It shuts and then it powers everything around. And apparently now he's being used as a fuel source. And cannot escape.
Yep.
And then Superman goes and talks at a summit again. Can we play clip number B4?
Thank you. Well, once more, we survived the threat of war and found a fragile peace. I thought I could give you all the gift of the freedom from war, but I was wrong. It's not mine to give. We're still a young planet.
Okay, I'm bored. It's fine. Cut it. We don't have time.
Other civilizations?
Cut it. I don't even care. Anyways, he says this really moving speech that's actually kind of powerful and nice, and you wish the rest of the movie lived up to it, because I wanted to cut it because I want to play the last clip. This is where Lex and Lenny have gotten away only to be captured again, but let's hear clip number 11.
We'll lay low for a while. A couple of years. I'll come up with a new plan.
Whoa, good thing I brought my drums.
Good thing I brought my drums for your plans. The only thing that gets me through your plans is my drums.
He didn't bring his drums. He brought his drumsticks.
That's it.
He's a fucking idiot.
He's a fucking idiot, Lenny. There's a difference between drums and drumsticks.
And then they send him to school.
Yep.
That's the end of his arc.
I apologize that we had to cut Superman's speech short, because it's actually a pretty good speech. But the movie doesn't deserve that speech, so that's why we cut it.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, man, this has been a lightning-fast show, ladies and gentlemen. I feel like we covered a whole lot of ridiculousness. This has been Superman 4, The Quest for Peace. If you go out and see Justice League this weekend, let me know what you think. No spoilers in case I, for some reason, don't go tomorrow night, but I'm very excited to see it. I'm hopeful. I want the DC Universe to be good. I've said this before. I'm not anti-DC or too pro-Marvel. I want them both. It's all my childhood. I want it all to be awesome. So let us know what you think on Twitter and on Instagram. And not Instagram. Fuck Instagram. We're not on there. I'm not at Guilty Movie Guys. No. On Twitter, in the comments on YouTube, you leave a review on iTunes. That would be awesome. Until next time, Jesse, where can they find you?
Find me on Twitter and actually on Instagram at Too Much Jesse or for Sketch at The Prom Losers.
You can find me at The Ben Begley, at Guilty Movie Guys for us. And until next time, what is your guilty movie pleasure?
From producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire Popcorn Talk Network, we would like to thank you for tuning in. For questions or comments, be sure to visit popcorntalk.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of the Popcorn Talk Network.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only, and not necessarily reflect the views of the Popcorn Talk Network or its owners or principals.